better call somebody.
Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
You're listening to a special presentation from the Kings of Sport. It's a show 29 years in the making. It's the Ringside Wrap 2014 WrestleMania Preview. With your hosts, Marcus Vanderberg, the Godfather Nate Milton, and Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, a very special edition, an extended edition, if you will, of the Ringside Wrap, taking a look at WrestleMania 30. We are going to preview the big show down in New Orleans. We are going to get into how we got there, the road to WrestleMania, if you will, and give our predictions on the big night. But before we do, let us introduce ourselves. Allow us to introduce ourselves. I am the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham and the returning Marcus Vanderberg. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Nate?
Light Bright is back. What's up, man?
Well, say we had our stand-in last week. Dennis Black and Asian did a good job. But Marcus, conspicuous by his absence, not an absence that was unnoticed by one Alfredo Torres. What's going on there, Marcus?
First off, your boy is kind of weird, man. Like, who gets that upset over... I've never talked to this man in my life, and he was just spewing all kinds of hate, so...
You disrespect his proud Puerto Rican heritage.
By what? When did I rip the Puerto Ricans?
Marcus, let me just ask you once and for all. We're going to settle the score. Do you or do you not like Puerto Ricans?
I love the Puerto Ricans. I did mistake him for Puerto Rican when I'm back east, so...
There you go, Alfredo.
There you go. So, calm down.
I mean, that's not really going to do much for your guys' feud. I mean, you guys are being kept apart right now, and as we've learned from WrestleMania seasons past, it's best to keep them apart than bring them together. So, I think you might need to be spitting a little bit more hatred, Marcus. Otherwise, we're just going to start making stuff up.
I mean, dude is weird. I listened to the show, and yeah, he's weird, you know?
Wow.
Sorry, Ronnie Metzico, or whatever you go by on Facebook, so... Oh, whoops, did I out you? I'm sorry, Alfredo.
It's nothing nothing sitting down and watching pro wrestlers versus zombies can't fix.
We'll see.
Will you be watching that with us, Marcus?
Will Alfredo be on the show?
I think we're going to have a crossover, if you will.
Then I'll have to check my schedule. Might be working.
The Puerto Rican Pride Parade. You got to be there for that.
Oh, that's not till June, and we got some time for that. See, I know that is.
Because you know when you got to get out of the city.
No, it's because I need to know when I need to go walk around the street and observe.
Oh, man. But yeah. So that was last week. To be continued, much like one of the endless TNA vignettes on that story. But before we get to the wrestling, I did want to touch on one actual quote-unquote sports story from the week, kind of a follow-up to last week's discussion. When we last came to you guys on the podcast, we were talking about the Eagles kicking DeSean Jackson to the curb, and as we speak, he is now, down here in my neck of the woods, a member of the Washington NFL football team, known as the Redskins to some. And what do you make of that move, guys?
Not going to work. It's not going to work, period, end of story. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care that they have RG3 and they might be on the uptick. It's not going to work because it's the Washington Redskins and free agency. And if you can't score with the agent in a list that is endless then it's just not going to work. Bad ownership. Do me a favor. I posted this on Facebook. Google Washington Redskins free agent history, and you will have the laugh of the century.
I have to agree with Alfred. At this point, he's a younger Santana Moss, and I don't see it working out at all. Not so much because he's going to have discipline issues or off-the-field issues. Something about that team and that offense, and not so much RG3, but he just got there, but something about that team in general, I just, it's not going to work out for a variety of reasons that I can't say at the moment.
I think, like Albert said, he pointed on it, you know, and, you know, it all goes back to the top, and at the risk of ruining a connection I have with box seats at the MCI arena, I think the Redskins' problems go all the way to the top and lay at the feet of one Daniel Snyder. And, you know, you got a new coach in here. You got RG3 coming off of a disappointing season. You got Pierre Garçon, who, you know, had some injury issues last year. You got D'Angelo Hall, who's a solid player, but he's always a headache. And now you want to add DeSean Jackson to this mix. I hope the Redskins, just for my sake, being in this area so I don't have to hear it on talk radio, I hope the Redskins are able to do something, but this seems like, again, throwing good money after bad.
Listen, when D'Angelo Hall is your advocate to bring you to the team, that's a problem. You shouldn't have D'Angelo Hall being the person who's going to support and back you up in order to the reason why you should come to this team. He's not exactly someone who I think as of a team leader. So as soon as D'Angelo opened his mouth to support his boy Deshaun, I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. So good luck, Washington.
He did send out a tweet which ties us back into wrestling. D'Angelo Hall the other day at DeSean Jackson. Congrats, little bro. Welcome to Redskins Nation. And he also tagged RG3, Pierre Garçon, John Wall, and the rapper Wale, or as John Pollock would call him, Whale.
Whale.
Whale. The thing that scares me about the Washington Redskins is that we've heard and seen of the implosion behind the scenes. And there are a lot of head cases and characters in that franchise, like you mentioned, you know, D'Angelo Hall and now DeSean Jackson. And even RG3, as mature and put together as he does seem to be, there were reports this past season of him being an egomaniac, him being a control freak, and somebody who's pretty difficult to work with and you know, just kind of keeps to himself. So I don't think with all those personalities and this lack of leadership that DeSean Jackson is going to be your answer. And if they go, if he goes a 2-3-game stretch without getting the ball a lot, that thing could blow up.
And that was with a quote-unquote veteran head coach, a quote-unquote genius in Mike Shanahan. And, you know, as good as Jay Gruden may or may not be, I don't know if he's going to be able to right that ship if all those egos kind of implode.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have his hands full. And you know, RG me and Robert Griffin was, you know, he was labeled as a bit selfish. And He's someone who his first year in, it seemed like he was trying to do too much. And that's one of Jamel Hill's terms is DTM, doing too much. And it felt that way when he got to Washington. He was trying to be everywhere, and he should have been just focusing on, you know, the Redskins. And yeah,
trying to be the face of the franchise.
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't impact his play on the field per se. And the injury wasn't tied into any of that but stuff. But still, it just seems like, you know, you're coming to a new team. You're a rookie. Just slow down. Just fit in. Do your job. And the rest, the fame and the lights and all that stuff will come to you. So I'm very curious to see how the Redskins shape out this year.
Yeah, me too. I have, like I said, I have little faith. It'll be interesting to see whose receiving core is more electric or dynamic, Philly or DC. But we'll get to that when the NFL rolls around, because right now we got bigger things to talk about, and that is the road to WrestleMania. As we speak, WrestleMania just, what, 3 short days away?
72 hours, yeah.
72 hours until the big event, and we had the Go Home Raw this past week. We had the big press conference this past week with Batista and Randy Orton taking center stage. A lot of things to talk about. You know, where do you want to start off, Marcus, as we get into, you know, kind of the run-up to WrestleMania?
Now, let's start with Raw from this past Monday, the go-home show.
I thought you were going to go Wale first with the biggest fight on the card.
No, I was going to say in particular the last segment with Brian and Triple H.
I thought that was a great segment. And, you know, we'll talk about it later when we get into our predictions. But I thought that was the strongest Daniel Bryan's looked in a while. And this past month, they've been doing a great job making him look strong. Even though, what was it, 2 weeks ago, they had him do the whole Passion of the Christ deal where he took that 15-minute beating.
Yeah.
But I think Daniel Bryan, they've done a really good job with him this entire run-up. You know, made him relevant, made him strong. And Triple H, kind of surprisingly, well, or maybe not so surprisingly, if you kind of go back and look at Hunter's track record, as soon as he became a focal point in this feud, Batista and Orton kind of became background players.
Yeah, they've been a casualty, and I wouldn't shoulder the blame on Triple H, although he is, I don't think blame is the right word, but he is a big reason why Randy Orton and Batista have basically been neutered, but the fans are too, because they did not want to see that match. Batista and Orton, namely Batista, was being juxtaposed against a white-hot Daniel Bryan, who many people viewed Batista as taking his spot in WrestleMania in the main event. Those two have been relegated to kind of secondary parts of this WrestleMania picture, and the real story is Daniel Bryan and Triple H.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, he had to do what he had to do. If this match, if this card was still going with Orton and Batista in the main event, you know how upset people would be, and people would talk about, oh, I might get Orton WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. So there's at least, we at least know we're getting a three-way, either with Triple H or Bryan. So, you know, when you are, you know, the real face of the company, which Triple H is, then this is what happens when you get the most mic time and are the focal point of the show.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, he, for better or for worse, he is at this point still one of the most fully developed characters on the show. And he is somebody that, you know, I think, Alfred, you're talking about, you know, put blame on Triple H or put blame on the fans. I think it's not a blame so much, but it's kind of like when The Rock came back and you noticed that nobody else really in the company had that type of charisma, had that type of draw on the fans. Triple H, for as much flack as he gets, he still is, you know, somebody that the fans view as big time because of the way he's been portrayed over the years. And Orton has been a weak champ at best. Batista is a dude wearing skinny jeans that rips his pants trying to do simple moves, and there's no heat behind that. And Daniel Bryan is this internet darling that is finally starting to cross over to the mainstream. And so, of course, when you put those four bodies in a program, Triple H is going to be that guy that kind of sucks the most heat and siphons the most heat off of the other guys.
Well, to Marcus's point, Marcus said that Triple H is the face of the company, which ironically, I don't think it's about being the face of the company. I think about it's about him being the heel of the company because Triple H is now the bad guy who's positioned at the top of the card. So when you're standing in a ring with bad guy Triple H, who has booking power, who really his voice dominates what's going to happen from an authoritative standpoint, pair that with Batista and Randy Orton is just really been an ass-kisser to Triple H and somebody who's doing his bidding. And even though he's staring at his competition potentially at WrestleMania, he is still playing that type of suck-up role. When you pair those things together, I think that's what hurts Batista and Randy Orton. I just think that in a perfect world, either Batista would be a surprise entrant at Royal Rumble or he's just nowhere near the top of this main event, just given the crazy variables that have gone on since Batista's come back, because the poor guy is really being shafted out of, you know, out of a prominent role in WrestleMania, and I don't think is as much as his fault as people are blaming him for.
Do you think part of his comeback was a clause that said he was going to not only win the Rumble but also win the title at Mania?
No, not at all. I don't think WWE would do something like that. I think they negotiated terms that he would come back, and they had a plan laid out that, okay, here's a plan, Big Dave. We're going to put you in the main event of WrestleMania. You're going to win the Royal Rumble. From then on, I mean, it's always subject to change. I think WWE is smarter than giving so many talents creative control, or at least complete creative control. I'm sure Batista has somewhat of a say in his character, but just because of seniority, not because it's written into his contract.
See, I don't think there was something down on paper, but I do think there may have been some type of handshake deal, you know, like, hey, we got your back on this, we're going to hook you up, you know, not explicitly saying you will be the champion, but, you know what we mean, Big Dave. So I think there was some, at least implied promises or implied guarantees in terms of his spot. But once Punk left, and that's really the crazy thing, this really is not about Daniel Bryan. CM Punk is kind of the linchpin of everything kind of folding, you know, unfolding around him. And so when Punk removed himself, that moved everything else around, and Daniel Bryan is the beneficiary, and you'd be stupid to not capitalize on a guy that has received this much fanfare. And you know, I think that that's when they made the decision, like, okay, regardless of what we told you, Dave, yeah, we got to put it on this kid.
You mentioned CM Punk. Did you see what Steve Austin had to say this week?
No. Yeah.
Austin said that he thinks Punk is coming back on Sunday.
Never say never in this business.
Yeah, I mean, never say never, but what would be the point? I mean, they already got the money from the people that either got the network or are buying through a traditional pay-per-view. You know, what would be the point of Punk coming back on Raw as opposed to, on Mania, as opposed to, you know, the next night on Raw?
Well, I would say if Punk did come back, it'd probably be in that main event somehow, screwing Triple H. But you have to remember that the Raw, the next night, you're going against the national title game. So anything they can do to give themselves a boost ahead of time will help. And if people know that Punk came back to Mania and that he'll be on Raw the next night ahead of time, then I think people would be more likely to tune in instead of finding out, you know, halfway during the show that Punk showed up.
You know, there is I was going to say, Alfred, there is one man that could generate some interest if he were to make a surprise appearance at WrestleMania.
But he doesn't fit in, though. We're talking about Sting. But he doesn't really fit into what they're doing at the moment. At least the Punk thing, there's always the Triple H tie-in that they can always link back to. But where would Sting fit in all this?
If you're just talking about building a buzz?
Yeah, I mean,
like, I think at this point, Sting, even though, you know, he's not as a, you know, he can't do it in the ring, I think just the buzz of Sting showing up would probably generate more interest than the buzz of Punk, just, you know, talking about bringing eyeballs to the screen on Monday.
Why not both?
Yeah, I mean, I would lean towards both than just either or at this point.
That's true. They could pull out all the stops, especially since, I don't know. I mean, I think that Punk coming back, it'd be a big deal, but at the same time, it would almost seem, you know, out of place, because the story should be, if they go through the way we think they're going to go through, you know, Daniel Bryan has his big moment. And I think having Punk assist Bryan or take out Triple H or something of that nature, I think that overshadows what should be a singular moment for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where Austin's getting this from, but psychology-wise, if there's anybody who knows the psychology behind walking out on a company, it'd be Stone Cold Steve Austin. So maybe he's speaking from some grand wizardry of leaving, you know? But, you know, I don't expect to see him at all. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see where it fits. And I think at this point, even if he wanted to come back for now, WWE would just have to put him in the back burner and find something for him in the summer. But I just think both sides are content with moving on for now.
And we mentioned Austin. Austin will be at Mania, which was confirmed today. So they'll find a way to work him in somehow.
I think that may be one of the things I'm most intrigued about, even more so than a lot of the actual matches, is the nostalgia stuff. You know, we know all the guys from the Hall of Fame are going to be there. We know, you know, you're going to have Hogan, Piper, Mr. T in that same building. You know, Austin, Warrior's going to be there. You know, I'd like to see how they work these guys into, you know, the celebration of WrestleMania 30, you know, because it is the quote unquote 30th anniversary of the first WrestleMania, which happened 29 years ago. So I want to see how they work that in.
Yeah, and that's a kind of an answer to Marcus's question as to where would they fit Sting in. We talked about this in last week's show, is that WWE reportedly has contacted and reached out to every quote unquote mega draw of the past three decades. And Sting would fall into that category somewhat. Some cynics would say that he never drew a dime, but I would tend to agree that he is a very big star, and maybe they contacted him to appear at that ceremony. But again, the best laid plans, I think, for Sting would be a nice reset mode at Raw the night after WrestleMania.
We'll get to the Rumble and the Rumble, but the Battle Royal in detail later on. But if there are four spots open, in this thing. There's three spots?
Yeah.
Oh, then perfect. This my theory works out even better. Three spots open, three Hall of Famers going in who wrestled. We're not charting Carlos Colon here. So Jake the Snake, Razor, and Warrior. The only one I really question is Jake the Snake because he just had that operation, so I don't know if he could go, but the other two?
Yeah, I could see that. Only thing I wish it were, and I understand why it's not, because it would cut into the Rumble gimmick, but the Battle Royal, when everybody's starting at the same time, it takes away from the biggest pop of, you know, any match like this, which is the entrance. And, you know, if you have a Warrior come out, just run into the ring with that music playing, or, you know, Razor Ramon coming out with the old school Razor Ramon music, throwing toothpicks at people. That's, you know, a big time pop right there, and you're not going to get that, I don't think,
You can still get the pop.
Yeah, you can start with 27 guys in the ring, and then you go with the three main entrances that would matter and get the most reaction. I mean, they do that thing whenever Raw has a battle royal like this.
They'll do the last guy last. The
middle of the card guys are in the ring, and then the guys who are higher billing will get the entrance.
I guess. I just think it's more special in a Rumble set situation where the music is still playing as the guy goes in the ring and there's a fight already going on. And, you know the guy's not going to be in there for long anyway because he's old. But you get, you know, two or three quick eliminations and then he's out.
Yeah. And to kind of throw a monkey wrench in this theory, Marcus, that Alexander Rusev has not been announced for this Battle Royal. And
I don't see it.
It's one of the reasons he's kind of disappeared.
I don't see it happening.
I think WWE wants to surprise people. But, I mean, you don't see him at least being in the... I think it would be baffling why they spent so much time on WWE programming with this guy if they're just going to make him disappear at the time of the Battle Royal. I don't think it would benefit anybody more than Alexander Rusev, given his upward trajectory, because you see everybody else in this Battle Royal, it reads like a damaged goods Battle Royal. It's all the guys who they pushed at one time, and then they damaged, and now they have nothing for them, so they're being thrown in this Battle Royal. Rusev would be one of those rare cases of somebody who's going up and can keep going up with the win.
Yeah, but I just feel like because of the way that Rumble is structured, that's not really... It's going to be tough to get a guy over the way... It's not the same with the Royal Rumble because you have more space in the ring and more time spread out. I just don't see him making a huge impact if he was in the Rumble. So he would sort of be lost with the other 29 guys. So I feel like he's going to just come out the next night on Raw.
Yeah, that would be the way I'd go with it, especially since he hasn't, at least I haven't noticed him, he hasn't been on Raw the past 2 weeks.
By design. I think WWE wants to legitimately surprise people and heighten the impact. I think if you see him every week, that's why they're using Big Show as a red herring. It even works better is that they're saying, hey, everybody, look at the Big Show. Look at the Big Show. He's going to win it.
But is it really a surprise if nobody cares about the guy? Because I think that's the risk you run if you don't have him on TV.
Well, I don't think it's so much nobody cares about the guy, but if he comes out and makes an impact and wins, it would really force a reaction in my eyes. Sure, maybe nobody cares, but if they protect the Andre Battle Royal and they have him win, that's where it matters. Okay, sure, maybe nobody's going to care, but the onus is on WWE to continue this guy and to use this to his advantage.
He would benefit the most out of winning, out of the 30 guys, that's true. He would actually benefit the most. I mean, if Big Show won, who cares? Like, he's right. Tall, you know, he's a giant, so what?
And they ruined it this past week, because that was my pick.
Yeah, he's not winning now. They telegraphed that.
Yeah, so now I got to come up with a new pick when we do our predictions later. I guess the only other thing about the Rumble, the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, the kind of piggybacking off of a good friend's John and Way over the Fight Network, big trophy or little trophy?
Oh, they already announced the size.
Oh, they did?
5 feet tall, so that's pretty big.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah,
way lost.
I wanted to be 8 feet tall, but...
Five feet tall, so who's going to be the sucker that has to carry this gimmick around?
It's going to be Lana. It's going to be Alexander Rusev's, liaison, what do they call it, the diplomat?
It'll be Rey Mysterio on his two bad knees carrying a trophy bigger than him. Oh, man, yeah. Okay, wow. That's crazy. Like, just, yeah, the visual. Yeah, so it had to be a big guy because you don't want to – I wouldn't think you would want a silly visual of a guy with a trophy almost as big as himself.
Maybe it'll be Fandango and he'll dance with it because on her way out from that relationship. And Triple H did mention Fandango this past week on Raw.
Kind of hit him with the backwards burial, sideways compliment.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't want to. I mean, I hate the term burial. I think it's so overused and it's so misused. I don't think that at all was it. I think Fandango's going to benefit from that more than if he wasn't mentioned during that promo. I mean, when's the last time you said anything meaningful about him? That was Triple H just blaming the fans, and he was projecting on the fans, and he was saying he's a good quality worker. You know, he was complimenting him, but at the same time, he was saying it's you fans who turned on him.
So,
and you know, I completely agree.
The fact that they mentioned his name, this means he won't be on Raw this week, right?
You're talking about Fandango,
yeah. Because they don't have 2.0 if he comes out on Raw again. So
they might, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So I had to telegraph, we won't be seeing Mr. Fandango on Monday because we're going to not give you what you want.
he'll be like the Undertaker. Like, he'll only work WrestleMania. That's the only place he gets over.
And then he'll be undefeated because he's 1-0 right now.
He is.
The new streak. But yeah, I mean, I seriously don't see, like, outside of hardcore, you know, smark areas, like, that's a character that is cold, and Summer Rae is the most interesting thing about his character. And yeah, like Alfred said, it looks like they're breaking that apart because she's got the big role on Total Divas now. So there's nothing left for your boy Creepy Johnny there, Marcus.
Creepy Johnny, man. I hope he's at SummerSlam at least at the party. Because he was in fine fashion, just being creepy.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was the first big show we had. The first big wrestling post show. It was a pre show or post show.
It was a
pre show
before pre-show. Yeah, before SummerSlam.
Yeah, because you had all the great stories, and Alfred could only
shed
a tear because he wasn't allowed in the building.
This year we're getting you in, Alfred. We're getting you in.
Yeah, it's a night.
Because I think that was, you were the first one, Randy Orton JoJo story.
Yes.
Yeah, well, he's got another piece right now.
He's moved on. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
does he follow her on Twitter?
That's a good question.
Because I know the only person he was following was JoJo.
Yeah, not anymore.
JoJo. Not really, didn't get picked up. I didn't really see too many stories about it. I just, after Beyond Marcus, nobody really seemed to pick up on that.
I'm surprised because you figured. At the time, he was, what, the champion? No, he was, yeah.
No, that was right before he became
right before. Champion. But, you know, we're talking about one of the top guys in the locker room dating not only a black girl, but a baby at that. She's like 19 or 20?
Yeah.
Dating's a term.
They didn't show any of that relationship on Total Divas?
Oh, and for good reason. I'm pretty sure that would have been... Yeah, they would
talk about
that out.
Scandal. That's the new scandal right there.
That is.
Well, you got the black girl.
A young black girl.
Yeah,
like Randy Orton, the R. Kelly of wrestling.
She is lethal.
We know what the R and K stand for in RKO.
that would be a good. At least it wouldn't be boring if he started like an R. Kelly gimmick.
Oh, she's 21, supposedly.
JoJo's 21?
I don't know. She's 20 at the time. Okay, so 14 years, or 13 years age gap, so.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it's still, it's...
Yeah, some... Yeah.
Yeah, the older you get, the less it matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like he's not like he's 27 and he's dating somebody that's 14 years younger than him.
Which has happened in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah. So, were there any other things that stood out on Raw? I think what was probably my favorite segment, Marcus, besides the closing angle, was the deal with the Cena and the Wyatts.
Was that the... That wasn't the mask. That was the week before?
Yeah, the week before they put Cena in the mask, but last... Right. This week, Cena came
yes,
out
in the outfit. Fast. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that.
Oh, yes, okay, you're right. Both weeks he was in the mask, technically.
I mean, it was a telegram. Like, if you've been watching wrestling longer than 5 minutes, you knew that was what was going to happen. But I just thought the way the Wyatts played it and the way Cena showed intensity, you know, for the most part in this build, he has kind of put the comedy to the side, and I think it's benefited him and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I had no interest in this match when it was announced, but I'm very curious now about this match. I think they've done a good job of building both guys, and I really think Bray Wyatt is going to leave WrestleMania as a superstar heel.
Yeah, I think this has been brilliantly done, one of the top, if not the top booked feud of the entire Mania season. And one thing that has always been underappreciated of John Cena is nobody cuts a money babyface promo like John Cena. And it is something that is among the hardest things to do in wrestling, is that it's hard enough to get people to like you and to get people to rally behind you. But when John Cena is in that mode, like, you have one chance, one more chance to sell this fight. Why are you going to beat this guy? Why do you guys have a problem? John Cena encapsulates all of that and then just, you know, delivers the money lines necessary. And his promo was on point. The video packages have been on point. And I just think this has been a very well-booked feud that if they continue on the way they are with Bray Wyatt, Bray Wyatt's going to become a star out of this, but don't be surprised to see him become lost in the shuffle in next year's Andre Battle Royale.
And if you watch the press conference, Cena was the last guy to speak for that very reason, because he has a knack for delivering those interviews and promos that just deliver. So,
yeah, I think he's the only guy that could get away with cutting the promo on the go-home show and in the middle of this intense speech about what he's going to do to Bray Wyatt, slip in that you can order the pay-per-view on the WWE Network and it not feel out of place.
It didn't, not at all. I mean, because Hulk Hogan has been, like, in character, and he's been good for the most part, but whenever he starts going into salesman mode, it's so transparent. But with John Cena, the into what he's saying is he was talking about history, and then he said, and he was correct, we're going to make history by seeing it on the WWE Network. So that didn't seem like a sales pitch. It made it seem like a bigger moment. Like, oh, wow, this is going to be big time.
Yeah. But besides that, I'm trying to think what else stood out.
Wale's right fist.
Yeah, so so the Wale thing. Yeah, TMZ had the story. My buddy John Murray, who I snuck into the party with at SummerSlam, was sitting behind Wale at Raw in D.C. And answer your phone, Alfred. And
she can wait.
Fandango
ringtone this week?
She can wait.
Oh, she can wait. Is it the Nigerian girl?
No. I'll talk off air.
Yeah.
Oh, and now my fiance was interested in the Nigerian girl. She was like, oh, yeah. Alfred's dating a Nigerian. I'm surprised. I was like, so am I.
Yeah, you never know. Opposites attract.
But yeah, back to Wale. So Wale was getting shit talked on Twitter, which is Fault Monday for Wale. And the guy basically said, hey, turn around. I'm sitting right here. And I saw the video. It wasn't really much of a fight looking at things. I mean, there was some shoving. I didn't see any fist or punches thrown or anything like that, but this dude Wale has a bit of a temper, and I find it funny that the internet has now, the rap community has now pushed his buttons to the point where they know how to provoke him and they know how to get a reaction out of him, even if that's at a WWE event.
Yeah, he's no stranger to controversy with the WWE. Didn't he get into that beef with David Otunga on Twitter?
That sounds familiar. Yeah,
I think Otunga said something about Wale, and Wale was like, well, at least people know me. The only reason you're famous is because of your wife.
Yeah, and Wale also got into a incident at that same arena, the Verizon Center, during the Raptors game last year when he was sitting towards that, and Matt Devlin, the Toronto Raptors announcer, took a shot at him and big up his boy Drake out of Toronto. Of course, people tweeted Wale to let him know that he was getting dissed by Matt Devlin, and Wale went up to the broadcast booth and confronted Devlin on air during the basketball game. So he's out of history with this building and confrontations.
He reminds me a little bit of A-Rod in terms of both of them kind of having rabbit ears when it comes to criticism, but unlike A-Rod, Wale will actually come and see you.
Yeah, he does have and the crazy thing about this story is that reportedly they kind of went into a hallway, they cooled down, and then he just went back and took a seat. And this is something that usually I would say, well, WWE is not going to want anything to do with him. They don't want any type of these distractions. But it seems like he has a pretty good relationship with WWE because Pete Rosenberg Compete podcast with David Schumacher, he talks about how he has a very good relationship with WWE, and he was able to get Wale backstage and take pictures with the wrestlers. So I think there's been a relationship that's developed, because Wale is somebody who's gotten back into wrestling, and as a hardcore fan, not one of these people who's just kind of a casual celebrity viewer. He actually follows the backstage stuff. So I think this is just one of those things where WWE likes Wale, and they're going to continue to have him around.
Listen, you'd add a lot of hours to fill in the network. I know Rosenberg's talked about possibly doing some stuff with them. I'm sure if they wanted to reach out to the African-American community, they would reach out to Wale and other rappers to try to find ways to fill content or fill hours on that network. So I'm sure they're trying to keep every relationship open.
Are you saying Xavier Woods isn't enough to
reach out to Alfred Tunnel? They want no parts of Alfred, but everyone else, the door is open.
That goes without saying, Marcus.
Oh, yeah, but one kind of final comment here on this Wale thing. I'm looking at BET.com right now, a site Marcus is familiar with. They had a comment this past week after the incident, and he said that, you know, he just can't brush off negative comments. I care what people say because I try to be a man of the people. I just don't understand in society why we champion people like this in this day and age that can say anything. I remember when people used to admire real people that stand behind their words and are stand-up men. I come from that. I had to address them as such. It wasn't nothing really serious. It was just that. Wale cutting a promo on society. Hey, I want to see Wale and Zeb Colton now combined.
Yeah. It's such apples to oranges. Like, people still get behind those who stand up for what they believe in. There's a microcosm of this with Daniel Bryan, is that he's fighting the machine. People like the idea of the little guy standing up for what he believes in. But in trivial situations, for somebody who can be, like you said, Nate, perceived as having rabbit ears and sensitive, if you're going to be fighting a random nameless fan in the stands because of something he said to you, that's a situation where it's not about standing up for what you believe in. It's about being the bigger man and learning how to deal with criticism.
They should totally take advantage of this, though. They do one of those greatest rivalry shows on the network and have Wale host it. It's like, what's beef with Wale? And every week he'll have like a classic feud, and then at the end of the show he'll just go off on somebody on Twitter.
You should have had Matthew Barrett say something about him.
Oh, man, that'd be so good.
Climbs the podium and like tries to fight him.
And all, like you could have on the show, like, he'd be like, that was a great rivalry between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. But before we leave this week, I want to send a message to Four Horsemen 625 on Twitter. I see what you wrote about me. I'm going to come see you when you're in D.C. Because I don't fight nobody else. I just wait till they come to D.C. And then once you're in my city, it's on. Wale is great.
Well.
Yeah, Whale.
I gotta talk to John about that.
He goes, is he famous? Whale?
Thank God for waiting.
Or get some street cred. We'll get it to him. He'll come to LA. We'll get him some street cred.
Yeah. You're going to see him in New Orleans, aren't you?
Yeah, on Sunday.
Yeah, you might have to give him a mixtape or something, educate him.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be the only black guy there, so. Because Alfred's not coming, so.
Oh, Alfred's not. Was Chris going to be out there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you may very well be the only black man at the you went to the review away meet and greet.
Yes, going there.
You may be the only black man.
Yeah, not the first time, not the last time.
Yeah, they'll probably just mistake you for a Puerto Rican. You have to represent the show when you're out there.
Carlito, what are you doing here?
Man, you can induct his daddy.
He's gotten off of those vitamins. Not as buff as you remember.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You know who is? Shelton Benjamin is just a beast these days.
Did you see him wrestle the dark match recently?
No, but he wrestled at that tournament in Japan, and if you go back and see footage of it, the guy is just like, I want to say almost 1.5 times bigger than he was in WWE. He was a pretty big guy.
Yeah, he wrestled a dark match this year. It was either, I think it was before Raw. Nothing came of it. I don't know what the deal was, but hopefully soon he comes back, because I still probably say that Shawn Michaels match he had is one of the best matches in Raw history.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. The best endings, and I mean, he had this spot where he jumped something that people...
The super kick?
When he jumped all the way to the top of the... Yeah, when he jumped into Michael's super kick, but I'm talking about the spot that he does where he just single-handedly jumps on top of the ropes. I've never seen anybody do this.
Yeah.
Without any help from assist, you know, the guy was just such a great athlete. He really could have been something.
Yeah. Unfortunately, much like JTG and Xavier Woods and R-Truth, Shelton Benjamin, another in the long line of what could have been.
Kofi.
Y'all got Biggie. Biggie's on his way there, too.
Biggie is on his way out, man.
What's his face? Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah, Big Zeke. Mark Henry.
Ahmed Johnson was a pretty big deal when he first came out.
Farouk.
You can say Booker T, but he salvaged something.
The Godfather, Papa Shango.
Nah, Booker T won the title, at least.
/ Comedy Ultimate Fighting Machine.
The silver medal. And he was, you know, he's a legend.
Yeah. But the rest of them.
As we learned on Monday night, still not good enough to beat Triple H.
Your false idols. That was very well done, by the way. That video package. I think that made it feel like a go home show for WrestleMania. Is that the time and the effort they put in that with Stephanie and her deep voice narrating it?
And he didn't. they didn't bury Punk either. So
my husband is going to destroy your hero.
there goes the SummerSlam party. I tried. I tried.
She's been great though. Like I think
she's been amazing.
You know, she gets an assist on making the Brian Triple H angle kind of come off the screen because, you know, she's kind of this constant soundtrack of screeching and annoying heel tendencies in the background that, you know, you like if this were the Attitude Era, like you would see her catch a kick at the end of WrestleMania or something because she has been just as big a heel as Triple H in a lot of these segments.
And not once has anyone mentioned Vince. So that's how you know they're doing a good job because no one has said, oh, well, when is Vince coming back? I haven't heard his name mentioned in months.
You think we see him in Mania?
No. Well.
At least like in a segment or something for the 30th?
I think he does come out because, I mean, this is his show. So.
Maybe just a thing at the beginning to introduce the pay-per-view.
Yeah, either that or during the Hall of Fame with Finkel.
Yeah, because I think you know it'll be a huge reaction because like we haven't really seen Vince. It seems in forever, even though I know it was like just a year ago.
Not even that.
It was a few months ago.
When the Authority just started up, Vince was a fixture.
You're right. But it seems like forever.
Yeah. He's had to come out.
You know what's an indictment right now is we've gone over the top matches and it seems like we've covered everything. We haven't said Brock Lesnar or The Undertaker's name yet. And really? I mean, for good reason, because that has been the worst built feud, I think, of WrestleMania.
What do you want to let's start running down the actual card and doing the predictions and then we can get to...
Okay, we can go into that mode. Sure.
We touched on Raw. Raw, I mean...
Build that to a crescendo. I mean, I just wanted to note that it got skipped over in our little, you know, assessment of Raw, which...
Oh, I forgot. That was the opening segment. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was the opening... closing segment last week.
That's right. Yawn. I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, that stood out, unfortunately. But I think the match would be great. It's just, you know, getting to the actual match was just a pain.
Yeah, and I think they neutered Brock a long time ago, so nothing they would have done would have made it seem more believable that he's going to win on Sunday. You know, if he had been undefeated this entire time, and now you got Brock's mini streak versus Taker's long term streak, you know, then you've got a story. But because we've seen Brock lose, it's like, you know, it'll be a great match. You know, I'm looking forward to the match, but the build, other than the pin stabbing, you know, there's nothing that intrigued me about this build.
Yeah,
and winning and losing is everything with Brock Lesnar. But let's talk the winners and losers of the WrestleMania card as we run down the entire card from pre-show to finish. We'll start with a kickoff, which is the Usos versus Los Matadores versus the Real Americans versus Rye Baxel in a fatal four-way tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championship. Nate, we'll start with you. Who do you think wins that match and why?
I think the Usos win this match because this is the part of the show where everybody's still getting to wherever they're going to watch WrestleMania and nobody really cares. And they wasted a couple good matches with the tag teams. You could have had the Usos finally getting the upper hand on the New Age Outlaws. at WrestleMania. That would have been a good program. You could have had the Usos and the Rhodes brothers feuding over who's been the best team over the past year. That would have been a good feud. But now you got the Usos and three teams I don't really care about, and one team, one of those teams should have been breaking up, and maybe we'll get the breakup on Sunday. But, you know, it just seems like they wasted an opportunity, and there's no real reason to take the belts off of the Usos.
I agree. I think the Usos win. I think it actually will be a fun match, better than probably people would expect, but I think the Usos will retain.
Yeah. I think the Usos win as well. I could care less how they win it, because to Nate's point, they have completely – and this is – there are only three matches on this show that are going to be singles matches, and the rest of them have been lazily booked as just these group feuds. And WrestleMania is all about building to a crescendo and solving a problem at WrestleMania, and that has not happened with the majority of these matches.
Yeah, the problem was from last year. The problem was everybody didn't get paid, so that's what they saw this year.
Yeah, but how's that going to work? I think this is part of WWE saying, sorry, your paychecks are going to be smaller, but at least you're all going to be on the show. This is a morale booster, because they know that with the network, it's impossible for people to make as much money as they were with the pay-per-view model.
I wonder what the final number would be for pay-per-views after it's all said and done. If you factor in, last year was just over a million. I still think they get 500,000 from pay-per-view.
Really? I think that might be a generous figure compared to what I've heard that the WWE Network might do. But we'll get to that at the end of the show.
We'll get a better sense on Monday is when they're supposed to announce the first number. Yes. So you can do the math and figure out who ordered and who didn't. So
it'll be a big day for WWE. But we go from the top of the show to an over-the-top rope battle royal, which will be the currently 27-man, but by showtime, it'll be a 30-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Not going to announce all the 27 participants, but we talked about this and touched about this a little early on the show, but I want Marcus to start us off and give us who you think will win and why.
This is a tough one, because we're talking about 27 guys who don't really matter at the moment, unfortunately. And the three wild cards that we don't know about. So if I had to take a guess on the winner from the 27 that have been announced, I'm going to say Del Rio.
Really?
Yeah.
Even after that win, that random win on Raw, you think he's building towards something?
Yeah, I think Del Rio. Because if there is one guy that if you wanted to hit the reset button for the 73rd time, in terms of the talent, it's probably going to be him. So if, you know, they'll try to salvage what's left of his career by having him win this battle royal. So Del Rio.
There are whispers that he will be leaving as soon as his contract is up, but I mean, if they've solved that, I mean, Del Rio, he's been fine. He's been a fine talent for the duration of his career. I just think that would be so random if Del Rio won. But what do you think, Nate?
I mean, it's really anybody's game, and I think that there's a lot of guys that if they win, will it matter? And there's a guy, like, I was going to go with the Big Show, you know, for the feel-good story, but they kind of ruined that this past Monday, so I don't think it's going to be the Big Show. The three open spots are intriguing. It could be a legend. It could be Rusev. So I'm going to go off the board and say that the winner is going to be a returning guy. And I'd like to say it's going to be Rusev, but I'm going to go crazy because I think this whole thing is crazy, especially with that 5-foot-tall trophy, and say that the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is going to be Mr. Monday Night, Rob Van Dam.
Wow, that's big time. That would create a good reaction. I mean, if he's going to be here for 3 months, I think it's just one of those that you might be wasting your time with RVD as a winner if he's just going to be there for a rotational assignment. But it would create a nice WrestleMania moment.
I don't know if they're invested in any of these guys past 3 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at the list. Alberto Del Rio, once a world champion, and Big E looked like he was on his way up. Big Show main evented a Survivor Series earlier this year. You know, Brodus Clay was given some momentum. Christian is, you know,
Christian probably will be in the match. Yeah,
and he's got a concussion. But Cody Rhodes and Goldust are both here now, and they were white hot a couple months ago. Sam
Ziggler. Darren Young, when he came out that week, was just the hottest commodity in wrestling. And, you know, I said that, and it sounds kind of like a joke, but this is somebody who WWE could have done a lot with. I mean, I know it would have been treading some very sensitive waters by exploiting the storyline, but WWE has done worse in terms of exploiting people's personal lives, and this is somebody who I think could have really been built into a big, big star if WWE would have, you know, moved forward with his national notoriety, but that didn't happen. So, yeah, it is a problem, and this match is an indictment, I think, on WWE's creative, and I think it's unfair to just blame everything on creative. There's so many moving parts of WWE that it takes a team effort to do something, but for creative in WWE to just book this card the way they did, with all these guys, all these talented guys who really should be rewarded by being singled out as, yes, you're doing a good job, you get a very elusive spot at WrestleMania. This is one of many matches that just show WWE has nothing for them. Even if they're being generous, WrestleMania is about earning a spot on WrestleMania. And, you know, I think it's going to be Rusev. Nate, you almost got it, but it's going to be Rusev. I think there's a reason he's disappeared on TV. I think he's going to come out, and it would make no sense for them to just hold him off WrestleMania and then bring him out on Raw. If that's the case, then why not just debut him on Raw altogether when it's in reset mode? Because it just seems so inconsistent, and I think that would hurt his character if he isn't to be in this battle royal. But I mean, you see, it's funny because last year and a couple years we've heard about The Rock, and everybody's criticizing The Rock. A lot of people were, because he quote unquote took somebody's spot at WrestleMania. But The Rock is a big star. You know, I'm about capitalism when it comes to WWE. I'm about socialism with the NFL because, you know, salary cap, free agency, it's so exciting having that much parity. But with WWE, if you're good, if you earn money, you should be on WrestleMania. And that was the case with The Rock when they did a million buys. Now you see this group battle royal, and everybody's getting a spot, and it's taking away from the quality of the show. I guarantee you it will. But we go from one bad quality match to another with the Divas Invitation, which this should be a mess. 14 Divas in the ring. Is this a battle royal? Is this a lumberjill match? Is this an elimination match? No. 14 Divas, single fall. I mean, you want to talk about, people are asking if Vince Russo's back with TNA. Is he in WWE is my question. Nate, who wins a single fall out of 14 Divas?
This reminds me of that Steve Harvey joke from the Kings of Comedy. Remember when he was like, there was five temptations, one mic. Five temptations, one mic. It's like you got 14 Divas with one pinfall. Like, it makes no sense whatsoever. It is, and I mean, you could have had a decent two-way match between AJ and Naomi, or three-way, add in Natalya, or even four-way, throw Summer Rae in there.
Now you're getting nasty. You're getting nasty.
There's like a four-way. There's a handful of good women that can actually work and put on a decent match. You know, Tamina, you can throw her in there, but 14. 14, you talk about everybody getting a spot. Come on, Eva Marie gets a WrestleMania paycheck. Come on. If I'm JTG, I'm mad right now.
JTG, Yoshitatsu.
Yes.
Kurt Hawkins.
Zack Ryder.
No, Ryder's in the Rumble.
Oh, he's in it?
There are so many people booked on this card that if they were to do like a last chance battle royal of everybody who's not booked on WrestleMania, it would probably be just a triple threat match, because like all the three, four guys.
The black guy, the Japanese guy, and the white guy that got busted for smoking synthetic weed.
Oh, Evan Bourne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say AJ keeps the belt because it makes no sense whatsoever, but it should be a fun train wreck.
I will say that I will at least be in my seat for this match because I do want to see how it works out. Last year, I got up during the Divas match. I couldn't even tell you who wrestled in the Divas match last year. So I will at least watch it. And I don't know. I'm going to fall into the dirt sheet trap and go with the whole thing with AJ being engaged, supposedly, reportedly, allegedly, to CM Punk. So I think she loses the strap and it will go on somewhere.
Well, at least at Mania, she loses the strap.
Is that a joke?
Hell! he is straight edge. He might be, you know, into some freaky
he's
stuff.
He's not a virgin.
I'm just saying, he might be.
His track record, it would be impossible to stay out of the bedroom.
Yeah. I'm trying to see the match. There was no Divas match last year.
It got cut, didn't it?
No Divas match on the main card.
That's right, because that was on Total Divas, them crying in the back.
Yep. So yeah, you didn't miss
it. I walked out on Diddy. That's what it was. So another diva.
Yeah.
The other diva, yeah. I'm going to say someone on Total Divas. I'll do Natalya.
Oh, very interesting. It's just this match. They're going to have to do a lot of bumps to the outside of the ring to set up for the pinfall, because otherwise, how are you going to get a pinfall off with everybody in the ring? So there's going to be a lot of bumps to people going to the outside. I really hope nobody gets hurt. I hate to bring that up.
That one spot they did on Raw where like all the divas like locked arms and spun around. You think we get
that? Yeah, I think that looked sloppy. And they're going to do something like that. It's really dangerous and really risky to book a match this way. That's why you really don't see 14 divas single fall matches, but they're doing that. And I think Brie Bella is going to win it. I just think, for Total Divas, it's just going to make a quick storyline. If Brian goes over and Brie Bella goes over, and these cameras are going to be following them, and this is something you could easily book on Total Divas. And Total Divas is actually very hot right now in terms of a reality show. It is like number two, or we can even say number 1A to the Kardashians on E! So this is something that they could easily tell a story about. You could see the social media pictures of Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella holding their cute little matching belts before they get married. Maybe they'll even get married with their titles in tow, instead of exchange titles. But I could see Brie Bella winning this match, absolutely.
It's not a bad choice.
But we go from Brie Bella to her potential brother-in-law in the John Cena versus Bray Wyatt match, which John Cena sees himself in kind of an awkward and a rare position at WrestleMania. This is the first match since WrestleMania 20 where John Cena will not be in either the main event or a world title match. He's going to be in a mid-card match against Bray Wyatt, and a match that really has been booked as a main event match. So, Nate, who do you see going over in John Cena versus Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, this may be the main event, but like Marcus alluded to, this is probably the feud that has the most attention for me, at least, and I think that both guys can come out of this match looking like stars regardless of the outcome. I think this is, we talked a while ago about, they always want to have that big heel coming out of WrestleMania, the fresh new heel that could be a title contender, and so I can easily see Bray going over Cena. But I also think that this is not a feud that's going to end at WrestleMania, and so for that reason, I could easily see Cena winning and then Bray winning the ultimate blow-off in L.A. at SummerSlam. So I'm going in front of this crowd, I'm going to go with Bray. I think that sways it for me. In front of this crowd, I go with Bray. And then Cena gets the comeuppance at SummerSlam. That's where I'm going with this.
I don't think they're going to stretch this out for 4 months, I hope. I can't do three more matches of this. Please.
You don't think that this story can go on a little bit longer?
It can go Extreme Rules is next. That's in April?
Yes.
Yeah.
End it there. I mean, because that's a long time to stretch out this whole thing. If it's just going to be Cena, one against three, essentially.
Yeah, because the other guys aren't we don't want to see those guys in a match with John Cena.
No, but they're going to be around. They're going to be a factor, I think, if this thing stretches out. God forbid Hogan decides to step in. So,
yeah.
I believe that, this is the one match I really have no idea which direction it's going to go, singles match wise. So I'm going to say John Cena, but Bray Wyatt's going to get his beat down in afterwards. So
yeah, I could see. I mean,
it's tough.
I'm like Marcus. It could go either way, and this is the one match where I think John Cena, I saw, was like +300 in Vegas to lose his match. So he's an underdog, and this would be a very good pick to get you some good money on WrestleMania. I just see Bray Wyatt as winning this match because, I mean, I could see the thing is, John Cena has been saying, if you want to be a top star, you got to go through me. I would find it hard to believe that as soon as he starts saying that, he loses a match. That's something that needs value, that he needs to start winning matches to show how hard it is to go through John Cena. But by the same token, Bray Wyatt has been so good, and I just think Bray Wyatt's going to win this match. I see this as John Cena wanted to work with Bray Wyatt, and he wanted to put him over and make him look like $1 million on his
way out in long term. A lot of people think long term Bray Wyatt could be a big star. That means nothing in today's WWE. But I think Bray Wyatt's going to win. It's going to be one of those Fandango, Chris Jericho situations where you see a young guy who has talent and you say, what can we do with this guy? And Bray Wyatt goes over. Plus, there's going to be a lot of baby faces going over in this card. Bray Wyatt is one of the easy logical choices that won't seem like a random surprise if he wins.
And to your point, though, it's almost like a catch-22 because Cena has been talking about the legacy and, you know, the young cats, they got to come through him. And so on the one hand, you know, you don't want Cena's first challenge coming out of, you know, all of this rhetoric he's been saying to be a loss. But on the other hand, you know, Bray Wyatt is somebody who I don't think can absorb a loss, at least not as easily as John Cena can at this point. So, you know, it makes sense to kind of put Bray over, and then, you know, John Cena, you know, he'll be fine. He's Teflon.
Before we move on, you mentioned the odds. I just brought them up on Five Dime. So going back to the very beginning, Usos -420, +300 for any other winner. AJ Lee -185, the field +145.
I take that.
John Cena +350, Bray Wyatt -530. So that's an interesting one right there. So
I think it's worth putting $100 on John Cena in that.
I know with Five Dimes, there's a weird limit. It's only like $50 or something. But
was it 50? I thought it was 500. Oh, it's 50 because
wrestling's different. They lower it on wrestling because they know they'll rotate a bath. So
he could put Torito to win the Battle Royal and you like $1 million. I'm rich, you marks.
I mean, I like wrestling and I like gambling, but I don't want to be next to the person that's betting $500 on John Cena matches.
Oh, God.
Like, that's a whole new level.
That's worse than belt guy at the airport.
We'll get to belt guy at the airport before the end of the show.
Well, nothing has been worse than The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar's buildup. This has just been terrible. This has just been like, the thing about The Undertaker's streak is a lot of people are resigned to the fact that it's never going to end, and that's fine, but you want there to be some seeds of doubt, and that means WWE should be working harder to make you believe, wow, this guy can actually beat Taker. And they have that guy in Brock Lesnar from when he debuted, from his real life toughness in MMA. This is somebody, even when he comes back off a loss, he comes back 3 months later, so it's easy to forget that, and you can rebuild him. WWE did none of that. Long term, short term, across the board, I think it's been bad. But we'll get into the predictions. Marcus, starting with you, who do you think wins, dare I ask, against Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker?
Taker. It'll be a fun match.
Yes.
I think we will see The Undertaker on Raw, and hopefully he'll be gone by SmackDown. So, two more shows after Mania.
Nate, are you going to take your chance? What is it? What is the odds with The Undertaker? Is it minus?
Taker is Lesnar is +1250.
Woo. I might have to make a call.
Juanito.
Yeah, ring ring. Juanito, this is Poppy. Put everything on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, come on, it's Taker, and I do think it'll be a great match. I think it might actually be better than – I think it'll be better than the Triple H match, but not as good as the HBK matches. And I think that Taker, like I said, will be gone after Raw, but I don't think he's going to leave before running into a man that comes out of the rafters. I think they're going to have some type of interaction on the way out.
Very interesting.
Owen Hart spirit?
Yeah, I mean –
Oh, too soon?
Too soon.
Oh.
All right.
I've seen a lot of Owen Hart on the WWE Network, and I just think to myself,
like a disclaimer before, like they do with Benoit?
Yeah. They said with the Over the Edge pay-per-view, I believe that the terminology was like it was in memory of Owen Hart who appeared on this show.
That's show on them.
Yeah. But can't you see Owen Hart? I mean, I think he was ahead of his time, and I think he would have been a major star, at least on the internet scene in today's WWE. And I could see him doing the yes thing. I mean, I think it would be so much fun if Owen Hart did the yes chance. And I think he would get legit heel heat from doing it. I don't think he would make it cool. I think he would be able to make it obnoxious, and that would be a lot of fun to watch. But, you know, rest in peace, Owen Hart. Marcus is a little too soon on that, and he thinks he should rest in peace as well.
Sorry.
We talk about rest. This is The Undertaker, and The Undertaker's going to win that match. I'm just baffled by the fact WWE all those writers would think it's a great idea to book The Undertaker as being superior to Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar running scared. It's just so obvious that there are a lot of people who come from a non-wrestling background booking this product. And that's okay. I have no problem with the diversity, but you got to have somebody at the end of the day who can see the big picture and see how wrong of a turn they took with this feud. But, you know, they will be able to rectify it with a right turn in a lot of people's minds. So we are going to get into the final two matches. Okay, let me just set this up. It's going to be Daniel Bryan.
Hold on.
The Shield goes into the Randy
Orton. Yeah, we did forget the Shield.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. The Shield, of course, it's very fitting that I forgot that match, too. We'll go with this quick. There's been almost no build to this match. The Shield looked like they were going to go to a triple threat, and then now they're quickly being mortgaged off to Kane and the New Age Outlaws. So, Marcus, we'll start with you. Who do you think goes over in this match?
I think the Shield goes over, and we finally see another chapter in the breakup.
I think the Shield goes over, but we don't see another chapter to break up. I think that the babyface Shield is kind of fresh. I think they can get a little bit of mileage out of that, but I do think that we get to the breakup after, what's the next one you said?
Extreme Rules.
Extreme, yeah. I think they'll be good for a month, and then next month, you know, I think after Extreme Rules, heading into SummerSlam, you'll see the dissension start to kick back up, and we might get that three-way at SummerSlam.
This is another match I see the heels going over in just to even out the card, and I do see the breakup. I think the fact that they've gone babyface is just more of a setup for the shock value when and if and when Dean Ambrose and or Seth Rollins turns on Roman Reigns, or vice versa, whatever they end up doing. I see a turn, and I see Kane and the New Age Outlaws.
And shout out to Billy Gunn and Jesse James for getting a WrestleMania payday in 2014.
There you go. They haven't really aged that much. I mean, I know they're older, but they both, save the dreadlocks, they both look like they did in 2004 or 2000. So, and they're still very overactive, and that's always a very fun thing to do when they do their entrances.
And it helps to have friends in high places.
It does. It does. It's always part of it. But it's like that in every walk of life. You
that's,
know,
that's a triple H. That's America. Yeah.
You know, it helps your buddies. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And if you know people in high places, you're going to get treated.
Ask TJ. That's how TJ gets on the show. He knows people.
Exactly. Shout out to TJ. I appeared on his podcast recently. So
you may see TJ in New Orleans. That's a hop, skip, and a jump away from Texas. He might be in at WrestleMania.
Do you know if he's going, Alfred?
I believe he is. When we talked, I think he said he was going. Okay. I think he said he was like 90% sure he's going.
All right.
But we were talking about friends in high places, and that friend we're talking about is Triple H, who will battle Daniel Bryan. And as I mentioned before, prematurely, the winner will go on to face Randy Orton and Batista in the triple threat match. So let's kind of do both of these at once. I want each of your scenarios as to how you think this gets set up and what you think the finish is going to be, starting with Nate.
All right, what should happen is I think that you have the Bryan Triple H match early on in the card. Bryan wins after what should be a great match because, you know, say what you will about Triple H, he can still deliver in the ring. I think, you know, you have Bryan go over and, you know, you have him in the main event. And then this is where it gets tricky because I think Bryan ends the night as champion. But, you know, I saw the closing segment on Raw just like you guys did. And Daniel Bryan came off looking like $1 million. And there's a part of me that thinks that Vince or Hunter or whoever is like, that's your moment, yes, movement, internet fan. That's your moment. And at the pay-per-view, we're going with our original plan. And Batista is going to beat Daniel Bryan. And I just have a feeling that that is going to be the outcome.
So you're taking Daniel Bryan going over Triple H.
I think you got to take Daniel Bryan over Triple H. The only way I can see Bryan not winning that Triple H match is if it's like some kind of schmoz and then both of those guys get put into the main event, which I don't really want to see either.
Wow.
But yeah, I say okay. Bryan beats Triple H and then Batista beats Bryan.
Marcus?
If this were TNA, this is what would happen. Triple H would beat Daniel Bryan and then the main event would start around 10:45, and Triple H would get Orton and Batista lay down for him and pin him, and he would win the title, and Evolution would reform. That would be TNA's booking. WWE booking, I'm going to say Bryan wins against Triple H. Triple H somehow gets involved in the main event, and it backfires somehow. Bryan pins Orton, and Bryan is going to win the title.
Okay, that's some people see it that way, and that is a very strong booking standpoint from the standpoint of the fans. Here's why WWE and Triple H, for better or for worse, he books for the internet. Whether or not he says so, I mean, Vince could give two craps about what the internet says, and yes, he didn't want to listen to them, but the reason WWE went off the air, reason Raw went off the air with Daniel Bryan celebrating is because Triple H knows how paranoid the internet fan is. Wants them think. Credence. There is such a small portion, but he gives him way too much credence. He wants the internet people saying, okay, now Daniel Bryan's not going to win. No, he went off the air and he celebrated. Well, now he's not going to win. Is he going to win? And he wants that doubt, which is very shrewd to some standpoint, but it would be even more shrewd if that audience was bigger. So a lot of people are going to go into this thinking, okay, well, they're going to screw Daniel Bryan because he didn't get his comeuppance. Well, here's where it all kind of comes full circle. I do think Triple H is going to get his comeuppance, but it's going to be after he gets beat. I think if you book this angle, the way you said it, Nate, is that, you know, Daniel Bryan goes early in the card and then he bookends it kind of like Brett did. I don't think you do that because then the moment wouldn't be as grand. Then the second time he comes out, it's going to be a lower pop because people will be used to seeing him and it's just natural. So what you can do is after Daniel Bryan beats Triple H, you have Triple H injure Daniel Bryan. He's had a shoulder problem. Have him throw him into the shoulder steps, take a sledgehammer out and beat the crap out of his shoulder. And Daniel Bryan maybe goes to the hospital and you start WrestleMania main event with Batista and Randy Orton. You get that match that people are going to crucify. But they're crucifying it for the right reasons. And they're chanting, we want Bryan for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. So if Bryan does come out, now he's getting that pop that's going to be even bigger than the first time he came out. And so now he's got that momentum. I think that's how you book it if you're going to book in Bryan. But if they were smart, I think what they do is they have these matches back-to-back. Because A, Triple H will have a de facto main event at WrestleMania. Triple H, I find it very hard to believe, will book himself in a curtain jerker at WrestleMania. I think he'll want to be at the end. And at the end of Mania, after the first pinfall, when Daniel Bryan has beaten Triple H, maybe, then you have Batista and Orton come out, so you keep that momentum going. And even still, you can do the injury angle. But I think that's how they're going to do it. I think that is as safe and as limited as you can get. I really hope they don't overbook this with a Fatal 4-Way or with Vince coming out and saying, now this match is a Fatal 4-Way, or you got to do it this way and that way. This is a simple, like, even though it is a little overbooked right now, it is a perfect story for Daniel Bryan based on how he and Triple H have had this conflict over the past 6-7 months, and Triple H saying, you're not an A-plus player, I would never wrestle you at WrestleMania. Now he's getting to wrestle Triple H, and if he beats Triple H, he climbs that final hurdle. So this is a good story, and it can be a great story if the payoff is predictable and Daniel Bryan wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I like the idea about having him back-to-back, because if you're going to spend 45 minutes with Bryan, I'd rather see 30 minutes with him and Triple H and 15 in the three-way, as opposed to having him wrestle 2 20-plus-minute matches, which I think will be, especially that point of the night, a bit hard to watch, even if the match is great. But, yeah, I do like the idea, and that would, you know, soften up Bryan, and he would be definitely at a disadvantage. So I'm just curious to see when if they're going to announce either before the show or during the show when that match will be on the card, or if they're just going to wait until or make you guess and decide.
Yeah, and I mean, Triple H, that aforementioned paranoia, he could even take it a next step, because I've heard a lot of people say, well, if Daniel Bryan doesn't go on last, then you know he's going to lose, which I don't believe to be true. So maybe they're going to have Undertaker go on last, just as that final little trolling for the internet. But they're all on the edge of their seat during this match, thinking that Daniel Bryan will lose because it's not going on last, and WWE wouldn't dare send its fan base home unhappy. Do you guys think this goes on last, by the way?
Yes. Yes.
Good choice.
I do.
I do. Only because, I mean, A, if you want that visual, if Bryan wins, that's the perfect visual to close on. But B, because, you know, Taker and Brock, as good as a match it will be, as good as a match as it will be, I don't think that it's been built up to have that kind of heat like Taker and Shawn did. So, you know, that's a match I could easily see going last. But Taker and Brock, nah.
And plus, I mean, how many times recently have we seen Taker, outside of the last Shawn Michaels match, actually carry his ass off the ring, you know? It's always some big-ass production with him getting carried out, helped out, assisted. It just seems like there's never a moment where he's leaving the match strong, because that usually signals the end of the Undertaker. So it would be weird having that match last and him, you know, hobble his way to the back as the final scene.
Good point, and that's a likely scenario because there's been a lot of talk of Brock Lesnar facing Daniel Bryan, and Brock Lesnar has appeared at the last two Extreme Rules pay-per-views, if they want to keep him strong for that would-be feud, they would have him destroy The Undertaker and say, you know, I don't care about the streak, I destroyed The Undertaker, now I want that title that I was talking about before it suddenly disappeared. Like, a lot of these storylines just kind of disappeared from Cody Rhodes and The Shield and whatnot. Won't get into that, but we were talking about that yes or no scenario. I've got a couple of yes or no scenarios before we get out of here, whatever that may be, but, you know, in the spirit of Daniel Bryan, I want you guys to just respond. First thing that comes to your mind, yes or no. I've got about six scenarios.
Wait, hold on, before we do that, Triple H plus 700 over Daniel Bryan. Bryan's minus 1,500. And then in the main event, there's a few options here. So Orton to win, 40-1 odds. Batista to win.
40-1 odds.
Yeah, plus 4,000. Batista to win, plus 1,800. Daniel Bryan to win, minus 2,000. And Triple H to win, plus 4,000. So that pretty much holds up to what we've been thinking. Either it's going to be Bryan, or if, at the very least, it'll be Batista. It won't be Orton or Triple H.
Hmm. I mean, if Triple H goes to the end, do you see? I don't see him losing that. I don't see how he would lose
that. He would have to win.
Yeah. Okay, whatever you say, Vegas. But, okay, we'll start with this. Yes or no, you don't have to elaborate. Maybe we'll come back and revisit. We've talked about a lot of these scenarios on the show, but I wanted to get your final answer, Nate, and then Marcus. Nate, do you think Brie Bella shows up in the main event of WrestleMania?
No.
No.
Is there a fatal four-way in the WrestleMania main event? Nate.
Maybe, but no.
Yes, and it's Punk.
Wow. Well, good you mentioned him, because my next question was, I started with Nate, does CM Punk show up at WrestleMania?
I'll say no.
Yes.
Wow. Does Sting show up at WrestleMania?
Nate. I'll say no, he shows up at Raw.
Same, no. The following night.
Okay, and, another show-up theme, does Vince McMahon show up at WrestleMania?
Yes.
Yes. And a non-Vince character. Just Vince McMahon, the human being, not Vince McMahon, the character.
Vince McMahon, welcome to the 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
I wish you would. Remember, you know, he used to cut the promos for WrestleMania?
Yeah.
I wish he would do one last one.
It's WrestleMania 30!
Oh.
That'd be great.
Phil Collins and Philip Bailey, the Easy Lover from WrestleMania 1.
Yes.
Had Easy Lover music in the background. Welcome to WrestleMania 30.
I have this actually as a poll currently on Bleacher Report. You might be surprised at the answer. Do you think Hulk Hogan throws at least one punch? He's a host, and there's been some debate as to whether or not he'll get physically involved. I know he's very limited, but starting with Marcus this time, do you think Hogan throws at least one punch?
Yes, and I think it'll be on Orndorff.
I say not only Hogan, I say the legends, when they do the Hall of Fame thing, I think they each get a lick in, and maybe it'll be with somebody like 3MB disrespecting them.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely see that. 71% of the Nasty Network agrees, too. So finally, with this line of questioning, the WWE Network subscription number comes out. I believe it's Monday. A number. What number do you think are they're looking at in terms of subscriptions to date? Starting with Marcus.
$650,000. Yeah.
I would imagine $650,000 would be a nightmare. 650 people.
Grand opening, grand closing.
I'd love to be the guy who tells Vince that. No, sir. It's just
650,000, right? No. 650. Damn you, nefarious means. I'm gonna go a little bit lower because I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think they might see more business after WrestleMania.
Mm.
Because I still think WrestleMania, to some extent, is more of a communal thing. And I think that a lot of people with the network, they may not have, because like my buddy's got the network and he hasn't, you know, gotten the Roku or whatever to put it on his TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people have the network, but they're watching it via laptop or via phone. And so I think that, you know, until you see more people with Apple TVs or whatever, I think it's easier to watch Mania at a bar or something like that. And so I think after Mania, you may see more of an increase in buys. So I'll say right now, I think the number that's going to come out, I'll say 500.
And I'm going to go 750,000. I think it's going to be a very good number. Just, you know, based on the promotion. And, I mean, it sounds like this is a type, you know, I know they still have the international buyers coming once they go international and whatnot. But it just sounds like from all indicators that WWE might have hit a home run initially with this network. And I really like how they promoted it going into the network launch. Not so much now that they haven't. More with it, but I think the WrestleMania aspect is going to really draw people in.
Yeah,
so I see like kind of like a reduced WrestleMania buy rate, like 750,000.
Yeah, I think Sunday will be their biggest day to date in terms of signups, because when you look at things, when it comes down to the nitty gritty, you're looking at you're paying $10 on Sunday or you're paying $70+ on Sunday to watch this card. So I think people will go to the network by, you know, on Sunday and really spiked up that number.
And that's one of the reasons that the pre-show is 2 hours, because they're going to spend a lot of that time telling you, yeah, hey, you know, this is your last chance to subscribe. And people, like you said, Marcus, are going to be watching. And that's the moment where they're going to say, well, you know, I'm not going to pay $60 for this. Yeah, I'll pay $10.
Like $10, yeah.
And it's going to be across free platforms like YouTube and whatnot. So, yeah, I see a pretty good number.
And do you expect any issues with the network?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'm going to watch it on the network. I expect more issues from, like, if you're signing up on the day of WrestleMania
that's
and you're
you.
Not able to get that, you know, you get what you deserve. So I expect that to be the major issue, people, you know, log jamming. But as far as the stream, it's worked very well since I've gotten the network, and I've watched a lot of programming live, and it's worked well. But I just think it has with stuff like this online programming. I don't care how good you are. I just think there's going to be some point where it's not going to be pronounced, but there'll be like a freeze or crash for maybe a couple minutes, and hopefully it doesn't occur as Daniel Bryan is getting the three count, and then like in the next image you see is like them going off the air.
And then he'll cut an amazing promo like he did on Monday that was only for the network.
And they'll just hide it. And they'll just hide it from everybody.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, and I know Marcus is going to be down there and seeing the sights and the sounds. And are you going to get into some DDP yoga or go buy some replica belts?
Replica belt guy. So at this Review Away meetup, there's a Facebook group going on, and a guy posted on the group on Wednesday. And said, or it may have been today, and said, hey, John and Way, I saw you at the airport, but I didn't want to, you know, yell at me. Let me find the actual message. I don't want to misquote this, Mark. All right.
Smart on smart violence.
I know. All right. From Paul T. Hey, John and Way, I saw you guys today at the airport. It was in a security line, so I didn't want to cause a scene by yelling, yo, John and Way, LOL. Didn't see you guys after that. I was the one with the red Hulkamania shirt with the Attitude Era world belt. I'll be at the Jim Ross show tomorrow, so I'll check you dudes there, plus Sunday as well. Peace out, guys. Now, listen. This is the problem I have with SummerSlam every year, and now the problem I have with WrestleMania now that I'm going back. Wear your t-shirts. I'm bringing my barbershop window t-shirts. Mark out. Do what you want. Yes. But really, the championship belts... At the airport.
That's the big thing.
Listen, if you want to wear it to Mania, if you want to be that guy, go for it. By all means, I'll just laugh at you. But at the airport, on your flight there to New Orleans, you're wearing a championship belt? Come on.
Sir, your belt's setting off the metal detector.
No wonder you're using the security line, because this big-ass metal belt you're carrying around the airport. So... I left a comment.
I can't make 16 pounds of gold on this flight, brother.
Yeah, so, Paul T, if I see you on Sunday, I'm going to laugh at you. Just warning you now.
They walk around with these belts like they won them. You know, it's such glee.
God, love pretty him. Ridiculous.
Hey, man, those are your people, Big Nasty. They support you.
Good for the match. I say God love them. You know, it's different strokes for different folks. You know, some of them. It's not a reflection of my entire audience. Yeah. I hope to God it's not. But
and here's the remarkable thing. I just flipped on his profile. He's married, it looks like. So,
oh, well, he found somebody.
Oh, he's from Toronto. So that's okay. That made sense why he said security line. So he saw him at the Toronto airport. So even worse, he was carrying the belt on the plane to New Orleans. So, and he did respond by that. I made a smart ass comment as I'm known to do, and he wrote back and he said, "Let me find it."
He's taking your gimmick, Alfred. He's just causing. Getting in the fuse and got
like yeah, riling people up, man.
He said, "Marcus, it's WrestleMania season. The way I look at it, go big or go home."
Bam!
I gave him a like. That's I like this comment. That could have been a lot worse for Paul T. So
I was about to say that could have been ugly.
Yeah, so
he could have challenged you to a match for that belt.
Oh, it's a great idea.
Oh, and then Wale would have came out and beat you both down. It's about what's the principle these days? People don't talk with honor.
What does society come to?
What does society come to?
That'd be a great video segment if you're there, Alfred. Is to try to challenge someone on the street for their belt in some competition.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
I set up like if I was gonna go, we were talking about. I had pitched doing like man on the street stuff, and you know that. Now we didn't think about that, but that would be great.
You could bait someone into doing something for their belt.
You just cut a random promo on the guy. I knew you'd be coming down to New Orleans. I've been waiting for you this whole time.
Maybe at SummerSlam.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah. Great.
Yes. Cool. Oh man, but yeah, I think this is gonna be it for this week. Any final thoughts as WrestleMania is upon us, fellas?
Did you want to do a quick Raw predictions for the following night, since that's usually the big show of the year?
Yeah. Let's each give our two or three predictions, whatever you have. I'll go first.
Your opening segment and your closing segment.
Yeah, your opening segment, closing segment, and if anybody special shows up.
Okay.
All right, my opening segment is Daniel Bryan or Bautista coming out with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
My surprise guest, of course, is the man called Sting.
Mm-hmm.
And my closing segment, I'm going to go with something involving Bray Wyatt. Because I think he may end up being the hottest character, not named Daniel Bryan, to come out of Mania.
I think Bray Wyatt's going to be hotter than Daniel Bryan. Assuming Daniel Bryan wins, then the journey will be over for Daniel Bryan. And it's just going to come off like a celebration. If Daniel Bryan wins going into that Raw, it's going to be like the barbecue after the wedding. Like, okay, they've gotten married, they've kissed the bride, you're still here. You know, okay, it's great, but it's, you know, time to move on. And the Yes movement will not be as fervent because that movement was just to get Bryan the title and mission accomplished. So I think the opening segment, you get Bryan out there, he says yes a couple of times, he thanks everybody, maybe get the setup for what he's going to do at Extreme Rules. The closing segment, I see Sting showing up. You know, I see The Undertaker maybe teasing retirement and the send-off, and Sting maybe comes down and just kind of faces off with him. And then I think the most memorable segment on the show is going to be something with Bray Wyatt, who I think is going to be the most over character. I think Bray Wyatt is going to sing a song, and everybody's going to join in. Something really popular, like Time is on Your Side, which he's been noticing, or he's got the whole world in his hands, and everybody's going to sing along with him. And they're just going to keep singing it throughout his match if he has one. Mm-hmm. So Bray Wyatt is going
to... He'll sing some Wale.
Yeah!
My girl likes to sabotage. I love...
The bad girl. I know you make love.
That's the new member of the Wyatt family, the Wale family.
Consequence actually has a rap to the Wyatt song. It's actually pretty good.
I haven't heard it yet though.
You can tell he's a fan of wrestling. He at least knows the character because he even mentioned Sister Abigail and everything.
Hmm.
Best character by far this year in any. Or actually, the last year and a half, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say the last 5 years, to be honest. I mean, the way he gets into that character, I can't. If you look at what he was as Husky Harris and what he's really like, that is a character. That is something that, like, that is Heath Ledger scary to where it's like he's actually in that mode. So I hope he doesn't get carried away with that character like Heath did, unfortunately, with the Joker.
Opening segment. Oh, this is tough. What time did basketball games start? I think that's going to really dictate how they book the show, unfortunately.
Is it going to be the beginning of Raw? No, I think they're going to run up head-to-head.
Actually,
that's,
I think...
Basketball game tips off at what, 8:30?
They'll get a head start.
Yeah, they'll be uncontested. A little bit of a head
start. Yeah. So, in that case, then I think they do Brian in the first segment, and then they'll close the show with Taker, because that'll be right during the close of the game, of the title game. And in terms of surprises, it'll be Sting.
Yeah, the biggest non-surprise surprise, but I still think it'll come across like $1 million.
And it'll be television. I think once the Taker segment starts, you'll get the Sting chance, because it's going to be telegraphed. Unfortunately.
So are you gonna be at Raw as well?
Yes, I will be up in the 300 section, closer to Sting.
I was gonna say you might be able to see him walk by.
Yes. Hey, you want to talk about
your mom's Vandenberg from Yahoo Sports?
You want to talk about telegraphed? How funny would it be if the Undertaker comes out there and he's like, "Sword," he says, "I feel the sting of WrestleMania," and that the Undertaker just showing up. It'd be even funnier if Sting didn't show up, and he goes into that.
Yeah. Sometimes this business is like a death lock on you.
Good night, everybody.
And Sting doesn't attack him. I think they set it up similar to how they did Cena and The Rock. By the way.
It's got to be some type of mutual kind of...
Mutual respect, hey, you know, I know what you've done, you know what I've done, let's wrestle.
I'll see you next year, man.
Yeah, and the sign point.
this is the earliest sign point in WrestleMania history. Yeah, I think that'll be a good way to close the show, and also, you know, like you said, keep our eyes on the program if it's a show long tease of, you know, Taker's going to end the show, isn't it? And then you get Taker and Sting kind of closing things off and setting up the next year of WWE programming. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I think, all in all, in terms of the build for this WrestleMania, I wouldn't say it's been an A. I'd say, you know, probably a B. Some things could have been done better, but there were other things that were surprisingly good, like Cena and Wyatt. So I'd say all in all, probably a B build.
Yeah, I agree. It's better than last year. I have more interest in this card this year than last year, even though last year was my first Mania. So I think that's a good sign. I would say a B. You know, there was some stuff that was great, but then there was some stuff that really dropped the ball on with Taker and Lesnar, so...
Yeah, and I think you guys are being generous. I would say, I'm looking at this whole entire card, I would say a solid C+, just because there are so many. I mean, think of all the angles that they just threw aside that you were looking at maybe in November saying, wow, this is going to be a hot program when they get to WrestleMania, from The Shield to the Rhodes Brothers to the Real Americans, where Cesaro looked like a big star. Thinking of all the guys who look like big stars, who look like they could have been made at WrestleMania, where WWE just kind of mortgaged all that for the top three spots and just kind of threw everybody on the card. So I think it's been a bad build, but I'm very excited for the rest of WrestleMania, because, I mean, last year for The Rock and Cena 2, that really had very little consequence coming out of WrestleMania. It was just like the final chapter in a saga, and whoever won, okay, whatever. You won the match, now what are you going to do next? With this Daniel Bryan feud, you don't know what's going to... You know what's the right finish. You know that WWE was probably not bold enough to defy his fan base again, but you don't know. They can overthink themselves, and I just want to see what happens. You know, I think it's worth paying the money to see, okay, are we going to get this finish or not? It's very similar to Obama being elected president in that a lot of people were, you know, the early indicators was like, yeah, he's gonna whoop McCain. But then there was that crowd that said, will America elect a black president?
That was me.
Will they do it? And there was a lot of cynics, and it was a valid question to where when you finally got there, it was worth the journey. So I think that it's going to be one of those situations with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and I think either way, it's going to be a good show, and hopefully Marcus doesn't get caught in a riot.
That's why we need Bryan to win. If Batista wins, there's going to be trash in the ring. I'm telling you now. after sitting through 6 hours of bullshit, there's going to be trash in that ring.
Bourbon Street and people have been drinking. I mean, they're going to want to be careful with that situation.
Yeah. It'll be ugly.
But the Saints coming marching in. The Saints will come marching in that ring.
The National Guard will come marching in. They're like, we got to come to New Orleans again. Too soon on that.
Way
too soon.
That's worse than Owen. Owen was only one person.
We each have one.
We each got one. That's going to do it for this week. But next week, come back, same black time, same black channel, because we're going to have our WrestleMania review, and it's going to be on Google Hangouts, much like we did with the SummerSlam show last year. It's going to be fun, and I'm sure we'll have lots of great stories from Marcus being live in attendance, and you'll hear Big Nasty and my thoughts about the show, and I'm looking forward to that.
Great show.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to Atlas one of these, either Saturday or Sunday, and hopefully try to get some interviews. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Yes. We need you to talk to Fandango and see how his spirits are holding up.
He still didn't pay it. He's cool.
We'll find JTG. That's what we all want to hear.
Oh, man. Oh, I think I told the JTG story. No, I don't think I told it on air about his character.
The dummy?
Yeah.
I think that was an off air story.
Yeah, we'll keep it off air.
Yeah, we'll keep that off air.
In case I run into him. Yeah. Let's just say JTG doesn't lack creative ideas when it comes to his character.
Yeah. Somebody needs to harness that.
You know what I think would be a good idea for JTG, just real quick, is they should do a homeless gimmick with him. So when they shoot these viral videos and they show him going into actual businesses, like where they're blurring out their faces and he's asking, and you know, and people have to kick him out, or they show him outside of the WWE universe, and they can heat that thing up for 5-6 weeks, and then like one show, you get into the match, and there's this match with like maybe Christian and Alberto Del Rio, and then he comes in the middle of the match, like asking people for change, and then he like walks in the ring asking the referee for change to interrupt the match, and then if like somebody goes to attack him, he takes a change purse that he has or the bucket, and he hits him with it, and he attacks him, and he beats the crap out of him, and he cuts a money promo after. And he says, like, you know, WWE Universe has been the same for too long, but now you're going to have to spare some change. How about that?
This is coming from the same guy who nearly got the show canned with the company for bringing up race, and he's going to have the homeless black man on TV.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do over well.
There doesn't have to be racial implications. You can just be homeless. It doesn't have to be homeless. I mean, people will
He's black, right? He's black, right?
You don't have to go with JTG, though. It's a damn good gimmick. Maybe they should just steal it and have it for Evan Bourne or something like that. You know, there's a lot of guys who are wrestling now. Have Damian Sandow do that.
He's got the beard to look homeless.
He can start a stable, Broke Five Broke.
We ain't got it.
Yes. Get out of here, Brother Kanye, with your new shoes. Smelling like you took a shower today. Oh, that's a great, great album before Kanye went crazy. But, yeah, that's going to do it for this week. Looking forward to the Mania. So next week we'll be back with the recap, the review of WrestleMania 30. And, you know, if we're lucky, Marcus will have some quality interviews and some surprise guests. So
if not, I should at least interview John and Way.
Yes, that'll be a nice little – and you can give John like a hip-hop quiz.
Wayne, that's a good idea. Well, I'll reach out to Way.
Yes, do like a hip hop quiz for John Pollock. Because he was, when I was on Review and Impact a couple weeks ago, and I was like fresh to death. He's like, I've never heard that saying before. So, yeah, we love John, but he's got to step his game up.
Hip hop citizenship test.
but before we get out of here, let's let the people know where they can catch up with us this WrestleMania weekend and holler at us. Marcus, where can the people find you and where can guys with belts challenge you to a fight?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MarcoWill, MarcoWill. And if you're going to be in New Orleans this weekend, tweet me. I'll be around in the rain. So, and I'll also be at the Reveal Way meetup on Sunday as well.
You going to be doing the DDP yoga?
No, it's like 3 hours. It's like a whole motivational speech.
What the hell, dude?
Spill Yoda. Nah.
Yeah, I can do like an hour of that with like 30 minutes of motivational speech, 30 minutes of yoga.
But you got to remember, you're talking about 3 hours of wrestling fans and Yoda outfits and and a hot room, probably. Just bad idea. Oh,
Funk is on Raw.
Yeah.
Oh, talking about nasty, big nasty.
Find me at This Is Nasty on Twitter. Go on Bleacher Report. I'm a busy man. Read my articles. Watch WWWTF. And watch all four parts of me and Justin Labar, who's a fellow champion, for all of our official Bleacher Report WrestleMania predictions.
And you can find me at N8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow all of us. KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. Go to Podcast Land and give us a vote for Podcast of the Month. Also, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, rate, review. And if you like the show, please share us with your friends. So I think that's going to do it for this week. Again, we're going to be back next week with the big WrestleMania recap, the review of the event as well. We're going to review Raw. So I think what are we going to do? Like maybe next Thursday? Or are we going to do, like, Monday, or when are we going to try to get that show off?
I'm not back until Tuesday. Let's do Thursday. If Thursday works for you, let's do Thursday night.
Okay, yeah. Well, tentatively, we're scheduling for Thursday night, and you can also check out the show live as we're recording it on YouTube via Google Hangout. So that'll be something that we'll put all that information up at various locations on the internet so you can find that out and follow the show. So that's going to do it for this week. Good to have everybody back, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next week. So for Big Nasty Africano, I didn't even have a lot of enthusiasm on that. I'm gonna do it again.
Yeah, come on.
It's like, yeah, for Big Nasty.
The Big Nasty.
The Big Nasty. That sounded like a JTG cutting a homeless gimmick promo. Just change, please. For Big Nasty Alfred Cuddle, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, placetobenation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. Place to Be Nation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best in comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. Want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also, our friend Dave at TWFNews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also, check out PileDriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at RSPWFAQ.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in the pop culture world.